Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
For those that don't know me, my name's Scott, and I had three of the most adorable kids at the front. They're mine. And then also the most adorable lady. I've been very fortunate to be part of this church now for over 10 years, which has been an adventurous 10 years. But about 10 years ago, this month, I knew I was about to lose my job. Who's had that feeling before? The business I was working for was not going good. It was in a bad place through some bad decisions that some of the owners had made. Unfortunately, one of those happened to be my dad, which made the situation even more trickier. But you know, I was 22. Well, I was about to turn 22. So for those that don't know, my birthday's coming up. I can give you a gift list later if you're wanting to bless me. Chocolate works too. Anyway, so yeah, I was 21, about to 22, knowing a job. I was about to lose my job. I was married for about 4 months. At that point, we had our house mortgage. And you know what? When you're young, you don't worry about things as much. You know, I probably didn't really understand what was going on. I just thought, you know, I'll get some work. I'd done tiling. I did some tiling in between. And then I was going to work at a car dealership just because it was a job. And I like talking to people, so you might as well get paid. And I like cars, so I figured that made sense. But nevertheless, over about a month and a half, I was applying for a job at Weber Barbecues. For those that don't know, I work for Weber Barbecues, the state business manager for SANNT. Keeps me busy. I remember the morning of the final interview, Naomi woke up with a number in her mind and says, I think you're going to get this job and you're going to get paid X amount. I remember thinking, oh my goodness, if I got that, I'd be happy. That's $10,000 more than what I'm getting paid now. Sure enough, and then the following day I was supposed to start at the car dealership. I got a phone call that afternoon, got the job for the exact amount that Naomi woke up with the number, which was an amazing blessing. I got a car allowance. For the first time, got a car allowance. Now, picture yourself being 22 and getting it was a healthy car allowance. And I remember thinking, oh yeah, I've been thinking about what cars I want to buy. I'd been thinking about for a while. And so I went out and bought my dream car, as every 22-year-old guy does. Doesn't necessarily think about the practicalities of it all. I told Naomi what I wanted to buy. She knows nothing about cars. Nothing. And she tells me, oh, I'm not sure about this, honey. I don't think this is a good idea. Now, please, give me some grace here. I'd been married for 4 months. I was 22. I love cars. And I just got myself a car allowance, okay? So I went and bought myself a Dodge Nitro. Come on, look at it. It's a beast. Had 20-inch mags. My first car with leather, heated seats, sun roof. I was happy. I ignored my wife. Those that are newly married or about to get married or not married yet. It's an amazing wisdom for some reason ladies have. But nevertheless, I said, you don't know anything about cars or something to that effect. I think I'm pretty sure I said, and I can make the numbers work. I bought it anyway. Shortly after having the car for about a total of 2 weeks, I was driving back from my first country run in it from Port Lincoln, running on time, and I had at that point a block of land at Thompson Beach, which is near Dublin, for those that know north of Adelaide well. So I had an Esplanade block my parents had convinced me to buy. And I thought, I'm going to go see my block of land, which I did. And I proceeded to look at the block of land and going, oh yeah, there's dirt. So I did what every 22-year-old guy does with a pretend four-wheel drive. I went and drove on the beach by myself in the middle of the day, running early, 2 weeks on, brand new car, been working at the job, I think, for a total of 4 weeks, running early. I stop off, I go driving on the beach. You know where this is going. It doesn't end good for me. I can tell now, you're nodding your heads going, oh yeah, I see what's happening. In fact, if you look at the picture to the right, I remember this day amazingly. Somewhere in the left of the car, there's a boot or a shoe. I don't know what happened to that. It's in there somewhere in the mud. I lost it. I was driving along, just cruising. Life's good, loving my car, my 20-inch mags. And all of a sudden, the car just comes to a stop. Just bellies out. I don't know the area. I don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, look, I mean, I go, I can fix this. I've got this. I put it into reverse. Nothing. Forwards, nothing. Spin the tires around. Still nothing. And all I ended up doing was making the situation worse. Instead of being stop, I was now right down on the guts of the car. A really, really good amount of suction. Nothing was going to happen. So I proceed to go, I will call somebody, which would have made sense if I had phone reception. So what do? I proceed to go knock on the poor doors of the locals of Thompson Beach, which happens to be a holiday destination where barely anybody lives. Thankfully, I find this beautiful older man who goes, I'll help you. He's got his 100 series Land Cruiser. I'm thinking, you beauty. He's going to get me out. He gets up. We put some ropes together. And sure enough, he goes to pull me out, except for his car starts to sink. To which I've said, look, no. Let's keep one working car. And he goes, well, look, I know a guy that will get you out, but it's going to cost you. He does this all the time. He works up at the pub at Dublin. He's got himself a good side business. If you end up listening to this podcast, thanks for getting me out that day and making a hole in my pocket. So $500 later, $500. I mean, you got to keep in mind, I've got 2 weeks I've had this car. Naomi doesn't know yet. And what also seems to happen is my boss calls while I'm coming back from the pub, going out to get this guy. Hey, Scott, when you come back from your trip, can you pop in? I need to chat to you about a couple of things. And I've gone, what do I do? What do I say? So I owned up to it. I told him, I said, look, Jeff, I've got a confession. I'm bogged at the beach. So it has become 10 years to this day. He still gives me a hard time about being bogged on Thompson Beach. But anyway, we get there. The guy that pulls me out, he's got himself a serious Land Cruiser rig, like serious. And about 100 meters of steel cabling attached to a snatch strap, for those that want the finer details. Because he knows if he gets too close to me, he's getting bogged himself. So he's got it down pat. So anyway, we connect up. I've got reverse. We've talked about it. We go for our first pull. And the cable snaps. Now, at this point, I look down next to me in the car. And I realized the water is about half a meter away from my car. You could stress levels start going up now. Snap cable. $500 hole in my pocket. Naomi doesn't know yet. My boss knows. I've got to go talk to him later. Second time, you think you got it, right? Surely. No. The cable snaps in a different spot. Third time, it always works like a charm. We got the car out and there was this mighty suction release the back end of the car bounces off the ground about that high, back to the ground. I just keep it in reverse. I didn't stop, I reckon, for about half a kilometre, just following this Land Cruiser in front of me. So if you see a Dodge Nitro with that number plate, just don't touch it, don't buy it. But who knows, at that point, I was in a sticky situation. I was stuck. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you today that we can come around your word, Lord. I thank you that you've got it. You've got things in control. Lord, and today as we go through your word, may we be reminded by the strength that we have in you, Lord. May we be reminded that you are our hope. Lord, that you are the one that's in control of our situations. Father God, as I talk today, Holy Spirit, I just pray you flow through me, Lord, and that these words will penetrate the heart of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. I was stuck. I needed to be rescued. But who would agree with me? It was 100% self-inflicted. Someone said no, I'm sure. No. So if I think about storms in life, there can be two types of storms. There's correcting storms, storms that, you know what, you probably created the situation. I think about Jonah, for example, with Jonah and the big fish, who ran away from God. Long story short, jumped over the side of a boat and got swallowed by a big fish and spat out 3 days later. He created the situation himself. But nevertheless, God was in control the entire time and helped him get out of it. See, the funny thing is about that car is that when I bought that car, for those that knew me around then, in my mind, I had made it. I thought I was pretty good. I was pretty arrogant and prideful. And I kind of chuckle now when I look back at this, as I've kind of felt like this was the start of the humbling process for me. 6 months later, I sold that car. It was just a money hole. Sorry if you got a Dodge Nitro. If you get rid of it, if you do, don't buy one. But nevertheless, God used it as a learning curve for me to be able to hopefully make me a better person. And then there's other types of storms that just come from life. Do you know what? We live in a sinful world. When Adam and Eve first went down the lines of separating from God, we introduced imperfections into the world, and the consequences of that is what we have here today, a world that's not perfect and it's longing for a Savior to make it perfect. And storms come whether you're Christian or not, it doesn't matter. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. But nevertheless, God can use storms. He can use it for his glory, but he also gives us tools on how to get through the storms. So this morning, I really want to start off by just saying God's got it. He's got it under his control. If we turn with our Bibles to Matthew 18, verse 23 to 27, Matthew 8. It says, "And Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke up shouting, 'Lord, save us, we're going to drown.'" For those that don't know the Bible incredibly well, one thing I like about the Bible is the Bible's very simple sometimes. And what we've here is just a basic picture of just, I think, human life right there. Things are going on. Who's ever had those stress, panicky moments? And they've woken up Jesus and gone, "Jesus, Lord, save us, we're drowning." And Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. Who is this man? They asked. Even the winds and waves obey him. See, the disciples were walking in the will of their calling. They were traveling with Jesus. And even at that very moment, despite the fact that they were traveling with Jesus, they are caught in a storm. And see, I think we see something really amazing here. I think what I see is probably myself as a disciple and how I would probably respond to that. By faith, I'm getting better. And then I think we've got to picture Jesus, because what does Jesus tell us is to follow his example. We've got a picture of what Jesus is doing in this situation. He's in a storm, the same storm, but what's going on? You've got the disciples stressed, panicked, and then you've got Jesus who is asleep. And, you know, I think Robin touched on it before, and I think she illustrated it exceptionally well that the greatest faith is being able to find peace and rest in Jesus. And that is what Jesus is illustrating to his disciples right here at this point. He's going, guys, if you're on the will, I've got this. If you're on my will, it may not be what you want. It's just life, it's the world, but I've got this. I've got this under control. The disciples didn't ask to go through the storm, but nevertheless they did. But Jesus was with them in the storm. And when they called on Jesus, what happened? They experienced the peace of his control. He's got this. John 16, 13 says, I've told you all this so you may have peace in me. Here on earth you'll have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. John 16, 13. I like how Thomas Watson puts it. If God is our God, he will give us peace in trouble. When there is a storm without, he will make peace within. The world can create trouble in peace, but God can create peace in trouble. If God is our God, he will give us peace in trouble. When there is a storm without, storms going all around us, he can make peace within. The world can create trouble in peace, but God can create peace in trouble. I had the amazing opportunity this week to pop down and see Pastor Vic, and Robin came a little bit later. And, you know, I don't like hospitals. I'm one of those guys that I've got to be sick to go. I don't like going there. You know, look, there's sickness. I just feel like it's a depressing place to be. And so I've come in and I've seen Vic, who's sitting on the side of his table, the bed with his food, eating. And you know what? I could have felt like at that moment we were in church. Like it was just the most phenomenal experience. We've sat down and we've just had a good chat. And do you know what? There was this. You walked into the room and this was amazing peace in that place. You could see that the nurses liked Vic. They could see his faith just coming out of him. And, you know, what I saw right there was that exact thing. Here's a guy in this storm, and yet, despite everything, he knows God's got it. Talk about peace. Talk about faith. See, Psalms 46, 1-2 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present in help and trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth will be moved and through the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and later says, be still and know that I am God. See, it's one thing to preach something week after week, But to live it is another thing. I mean, to me, that is true faith. Psalms 37 says, in reference to adversity, it says to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. I realize Vic wouldn't be the only person going through a storm this morning. That's just life. It could be a loss of a job. It could be something happening in the family. It could be sickness. We all go through adversities. We could just be off track from the will of God, right? Like the Jonah, like me and my Dodge Nitro, feeling pretty good about myself, and all of a sudden, I just veer off track. Keep on track myself. John chapter 18, sorry. Here we've got the disciples at the end of a long day. They've waited by the waiting by the water for Jesus, and Jesus still hadn't come back. So they decided to cross the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum. And in John 6, verse 18, it says that soon a gale swept down upon them and the sea grew very rough. So different story. Jesus isn't in the boat. And they had rowed 3 or 4 miles. Now, that was completely irrelevant to me, so I Googled the width of the Sea of Galilee to get perspective, and at best, that's about the halfway point, right? So it's about halfway. When sudden, they're in the midst of the sea, they're in the middle of the ocean, when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water towards the boat. I like this bit. They were terrified. But he called out to them, "Don't be afraid, I am here." And then they were eager to let him on board the boat. And then this is the bit that blows me away, is that they immediately arrived at their destination. I mean, I've always obsessed with the idea of teleportation. But, like, I had to reread that. Did it actually just say they pretty much just conquered half of the sea? Immediately means immediately. And the thing is, that grew a bit of my faith. Because it kind of reminded me that even if I have diverted a little bit off course without Jesus, in the middle of a storm, all I've got to do is call out to him and ask him to get back on board my boat. Isn't that amazing? Right there, that illustration that we can have, that we, at any point, we go, "Christ, Jesus, I need you. Please come here." And he will come. And then the next thing that I love is that Jesus put him back on course and put him at their destination. Isn't that an amazing picture? I bought myself a Dodge Nitro. Despite not listening to my wife, my wise counselor, I took myself physically off course on the way home from a trip. But you know what? God used my mistakes as a lesson and pointed me back in the right direction. I cut my losses with my Dodge. My pride was a little bit hurt. But you know, the more that I tried to get out of that bog situation by myself, you know, the thing that I realized quite quickly, the worse I was making it for myself, I had to go call on somebody for help. I had to. Psalms 40, verse 2, says, "He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and mire," or the miry clay. "He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along." Mud is a sticky thing, right? I've renovated a house, and I've built a house. And one of the things I hated about building a house is there's just no infrastructure. It's just mud everywhere. you trench through thick mud. And I mean, but if I think about to my Dodge Nitro, where literally I got out of the car, I'm up to my knees and literally lost a shoe. Like it was, I was stuck. I think about when I watch the documentaries, or you'll see it on news at times, where you get these animals stuck in mud. They're in a dire strait situation. They've normally been trying to get themselves out for a period of time and they're tired. They're in this impossible spot where all of a sudden a guy or a person comes along to which they would normally instinctively try run away. And they normally, what happens if you watch them online, you'll see that the animal normally kicks and tries to get away at first, and then slowly succumbs to the fact that they need that person. They need that help. And so what happens is that the person normally drags them out, or a team of people drags them out of the mud because they can't do it on their own. And when I read that scripture about being lifted out of the pit of despair and out of the mud of the mire, I can't help but think of that picture right there. Just complete hopelessness situation, a terrible spot to be in. And the only way the animals are going to be saved at that point is if they stop kicking and screaming and just relinquish that and allow themselves to be saved, to be pulled out of that. And I think that picture is actually, when God was showing me that, I really felt that's for someone here today. God can lift you out of your situation, despite anything you've been through. Perhaps this morning, the storms of life have made you feel battered and bruised. You feel broken into a million pieces. There is still hope if we let Jesus in. We get a beautiful picture in Jeremiah 18 with God as the potter. And he's working on a wheel with a piece of clay. But the jar he's working on isn't working out quite the way that he hoped or planned. And instead of throwing out the clay, what does he do? He reuses that clay and remolds it into something new with a new purpose. I love that picture because, do you know what? God can do that for us. He can remold us, shape us, take that 22-year-old prideful kid with the 22-inch mags and mold him into a better person. Still getting better, honey. Don't worry. I'll pick up my clothes later today. Isaiah 64 says, "And yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all formed by your hand." God has got this under control. I've been fortunate enough to pretty much grow up in a Christian family. As a young age, my family got saved. And if there's one thing that's really struck me and amazed me just constantly, is how Christ can transform people. I can think of times countless and countless again, times where you go, that person was like that once upon a time. And now, who are they? I mean, they were the worst of the worst. And now they're transformed into, like, it's like the makeover, but in real life. It is amazing God's ability to transform people, to take broken people, broken vessels, sad people, depressed, prideful, empty, and transform them with a new hope, a new peace, a new potential, and a new life. If you think at any point this morning that God can't use you or transform you, do you know what? You are so wrong. Robin and I were talking about John Newton and the famous song that he wrote about Amazing Grace. He was the worst of the worst. He was a slave trader, ship captain, and an all-round terrible person. For years, he got refused to preach in a church when he got converted because he just had such a terrible reputation. Like, literally, like, people wouldn't even let him in his church, let alone share. He was that bad. But do you know what happened? God restored him. Through God's grace, he was buried in Westminster Abbey with princes, kings, queens. And you go, what an amazing restoration of someone that was a terrible person and turned into an amazing trophy of God's grace. You know, one of the things that amazed me when I'm caught up with Vic, he is somebody right now that could have been focused on all the bitterness of life, all the negative. I mean, it's bowel cancer, now the brain tumor, and you would go, it'd be an understandable thing. But do you know what amazed me when I was talking with him? Everything that came out of his mouth was, oh, you know, Jesus was in this, and then we got a Christian surgeon, and if you talk to him, God is in everything. Everything. Maybe not the meals, but everything else. And I think that's a great example for how we should live. Like F.B. Meyer says, as we pour out our bitterness, get rid of the bitterness. Let God pour in his peace. Might just quickly wrap up, actually. You know, when I was praying about the church, and I really wanted to pray for a scripture this morning, as we preached, and it was nice, and I didn't even link the two together, Robin, I was just praying and going, God, I know you got this. I'll be honest with you guys, I had a couple of mornings crying on the way to work into Adelaide. It's a sucky situation that I don't understand, but you know what? I know the deepest of my heart that God has this. And as I was praying, Deuteronomy 31:6 came to my mind. It says, be strong and courageous. Church, do not be afraid. And do not panic before them. Or I wanted to change the words and say, do not panic before your storm. Do not panic before your sickness. Do not panic before your joblessness. Do not panic against your depression. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. God of the universe. Do you get that? Will go personally ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Did we get that? Be strong, church, and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic. Do not panic before the storm that we're in. Because the Lord our God will personally go before us. He will never fail us. He will never abandon us. Because church, God has got this. We didn't know a week ago, but it doesn't change anything. God has had it. He knew it was coming. It didn't catch him by surprise. God has got it. Church, if you need a new job, God has got it under control. If you need a new car, God has got it under control. It's not going to be a Dodge Nitro, though. And if you have relationship issues, God has got it under control. He's got this. And if you're in the will of God, you can, no matter what the circumstances, God has got it under control. He's got it. Church, we don't have to rely on our own strength. We don't have to do anything different. We just need to seek Him and live in the peace that He gives us. Have faith. Have faith that God has got it all under control. He's got it. Let's pray. Yeah. Father God, Lord, I just thank You. You've got everything under control. If you need prayer this morning, you'd like me to pray for you, and you go, do you know what? Yeah, I'm in a sucky situation, and I just want prayer in this situation that God has got. Why don't you just quickly put your hand up? Don't need to come out, but I would love to pray for you. If that's you, just put your hand up so I know I'm praying for you. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Father. Lord, You saw those hands. Lord, but even better, You see the hearts of Your people this morning. Lord, and we just pray You give them Your peace. Lord, You give them the strength. Show them where You are in the situation, Lord. And Father God, as we go through this next season of a church family together, Lord, more than ever, we declare that You've got this. Lord, You're in control. And as Deuteronomy says, Lord, You're going before us. Lord, we're not walking this alone. We're walking this with You as one church family. Father God, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your peace. Lord, and as we go about this week, Lord, may we go deeper into Your word. May we go deeper into You, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church, or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.